Well, very good morning to everybody. Thank you, John. Thank you, everyone else who's been leading us through this morning. I wonder how many of us have watched any of the BBC series, The Perfect Planet. Give me a wave if you've seen The Perfect Planet sort of started yet. There's quite a few people waving there. Excellent. It is absolutely phenomenal, isn't it? I have to admit, I've only seen the first one that was on volcanoes, and there was that scene of thousands upon thousands of flamingos on the volcanic basin. And there were, I'm trying a bit new technology today, so you're going to get some interactiveness going on as well. So, but there was this picture of a little chick, a little flamingo chick that was trying to survive the stork, trying to eat this chick for breakfast. And it eventually rejoined the main group. And in the words of David Attenborough, almost unbelievably, each chick has a unique call that its parents can recognize. So out of these thousands upon thousands of chicks, the parent heard that one that they had to find to feed, a very precious relationship, and the only relationship that mattered to the flamingo. And as John's mentioned, as we've been looking at already, we're continuing our series this morning, finding confidence in difficult times and different aspects of our faith. And today we're going to look at 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 to 12. And we're going to read this together now. It should be appearing on your screens. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, "See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame." Now to you who believe, this stone is precious, but to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and the stone that causes people to stumble and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are a people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Dear friends, I urge you as foreigners and exiles to abstain from sinful desires which wage war against your soul. Live such good lives amongst the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. So unlike a flamingo, I wouldn't normally describe a stone as something beautiful. Now, however hard we try, stones are hard, aren't they? You know, there's a stone. We can paint them and we can try and make them look beautiful. Like these two that have been decorated in my house. But in actual fact, they're just solid. There's nothing in them. There's no life. But we are told this morning in this passage that the living stone is very precious to God. The living stone, which is Jesus. The living stone, which is the foundation of our faith. And of course, the image of cornerstone. Do you remember, maybe it was before when we were still in real church in Albert Street. I can't exactly remember it when it was. I took a photograph, I looked and I couldn't find it. But Russell and I think Suzanne spoke about the cornerstone, and we built up different colour stones on this display. And it was a real sign of solidity that you can build things upon the base. And of course, Jesus is the foundation of our faith, the base for which we build our faith upon. And of course, here's a picture of a nice house in, I think this is in South London. This is a Georgian house. And the, and I assume that probably cost a few million pounds looking at it. The people that lived there decided they needed a bit more space. So they decided to go into the basement. And of course, to go into the basement, they took the foundations away. And unfortunately, one day when they came back, that had happened. The whole thing had collapsed overnight because the foundations weren't there. And John's already gone through it. How do you introduce yourself to someone, you know, about your job, your family, where you live? Or if you're speaking about your faith, maybe you'll describe yourself as, well, a Christian or a Protestant or Catholic or Anglican or Baptist or Brethren or Independent Evangelical, whatever it may be. I tend to just say, I am a follower of Jesus. Very simply, a firm foundation, fully committed to following his examples and desires in my life. That's what I want to be. With Jesus as my firm foundation, I want to be fully committed to following his example and desires in my life. And on that firm foundation of being a follower of Jesus, we are being built into a spiritual house. And you know, the beauty of this is, as this is true for us as individuals, I am being built into a spiritual house. But the thing I really love about it, and very similar to the image that Russell had when he built those stones up, we are being built collectively into a spiritual house. The cornerstone is Jesus, and every stone that is put on top is alive, is made alive by the Holy Spirit, and there is life. It's not a dry stone wall, but a vibrant living house in which there are many rooms, a house that is full of diversity, a community that is pleasing to God. And the most important part of the building is the precious cornerstone, who is Jesus. And that's just, we've already been singing about it, we've already been thinking about it, we've been praying about it, to have that assurance that our identity is fully embedded in that wonderful structure of a spiritual house that is underpinned and centralized, if you like, and firmly held up by Jesus is just an amazing assurance. But we are told that not everybody wants to be part of this house. In fact, the stone that is so precious is for some a trip hazard, a stumbling block. They hear the good news of Jesus, but they reject it. And you know, that got me thinking, why? You know, if we've been thinking about it, that's what wonderful, great news this is. Why would anyone ever reject that? And of course, there are many and varied reasons for that. For lots of people, it can be that they struggle to put their faith and trust into something that is unseen. They need things concrete. And it's too hard, it's too unreal to put your faith into something that you can't actually tangibly see. For others, it can be that they've been hurt by the church in the past. Unfortunately, too many times the church has caused people, the church, I'm talking about the church, universal church, if you like, has caused people to have a reason to stumble, whether it be through, you know, we've heard of lots of issues in the past with sexual immorality, with other things, and even just sort of rejecting certain people and making them feel that they can't belong. But I like to focus a little bit on one reason that for many, they feel too ashamed, too unworthy to be part of this wonderful spiritual house, if you like. They don't feel that they deserve it. You know, as Christians, we say, don't we, that we have our identity in Jesus, both individually and corporately. But for many, their identity is deep rooted in their upbringing. And it can be hard to reconcile that to the message of Jesus. I mean, many of you know that I work for a charity whose focus is to give the very best opportunities to children that have been or are currently in the care system. And the unfortunate reality is that for those children, for many of those children, they've had a very traumatic start to life. And I'd like to read a little bit from an article that we published. I didn't write it. It was someone who's good at writing this type of stuff, about what the church needs to know about shame. So this is an article you can, I'll probably put it in the link with tomorrow morning's email, daily prayer point. Those who are neglected, abused or rejected at an early age by those who are supposed to protect and nurture them develop a sense of shame. This is a sense of being bad rather than having done something bad. Even a child who is removed at birth and placed directly with a foster or adoptive family can still develop a deep sense of shame because his birth mum, the one with whom he had a 9-month-long attachment, through hearing her voice and feeling her heartbeat, could not ultimately care for him once born. Subconsciously, he receives the message that he is worthless, unlovable, bad. In other words, a deep sense of shame permeates his whole being from a young age. And where this shame is present, it will take a long time, possibly a lifetime, to unpick and heal. And what does this look like? And then there's a long list. I'm not going to go through them all in detail, but shame can manifest itself in a number of ways. Sabotage of something that the child owns or has made because they don't believe they deserve to own that item, that they have no value. Sabotage of plans that have been made for the child, especially involving something fun. Lying because admitting a wrongdoing or saying sorry might bring a deep-seated sense of shame to the surface. Running away to avoid confrontation, hiding. Stage fright or fleeing from attention, self-preservation when they withdraw from those who want to draw close in case they let them down like others have done, or self-harm, hurting themselves because he feels he deserves pain. Now that's quite hard, isn't it? That's quite harsh. That's not uplifting, so apologies for that. But I think it's important that we think about these things because this is real for a lot of people in our society, not just children in care, but lots of children and adults that have gone through very tough upbringings. And the article goes on to look at the impact that shame may have on a child's faith and how the church can lovingly support them in their faith journey. And you know, the point here is that these are complex issues, deep rooted in identity. You know, we often quote, don't we, where Jesus sent his disciples into the village and said, go and preach the good news. And if they don't accept it, walk away, shake the dust off your feet. And we often sort of feel, don't we, that we've done our job if we've told people about the gospel. We said we've done it. They've heard the gospel. Now it's down to them to decide. But I really believe that there is so much more to it than that. The last paragraph of this article says, as we learn as a church how to minister to children and adults who feel deep shame, so we learn a compassion and humility that deepens our own walk with Christ. We realise that we too carry shame, that our sin is more shameful than we'd imagined, that the path to trusting God fully with our lives is always a difficult one, full of setbacks and doubts, but that God's grace is wider than we ever believed possible. As we grow in awareness of our own shame, through ministering to those with whose shame threatens to overwhelm them, we become aware of just how much we need our Father God and how little we can do without him. Our shame is deeper than the sea. Your grace is deeper still. So I wanted to get across, you know, we've got this bit in the middle of the passage, don't we, where you've got this great news and it's still the same cornerstone. It's still the same a rock, if you like, but people are stumbling over it. And it's important for us to know that for many, the road to faith is long and it's hard. And maybe we need to change our focus a little bit and try and understand why that is. You know, maybe we need to change our focus from just talking about the need for forgiveness of sins, whereas for many, it's far wiser to talk about the joy of a restored relationship as well as the need for forgiveness of sins. So I just wanted to bring that to us because, you know, sometimes we can get lost in the joy that we may feel in our identity of Christ. But this, you know, what's going on in the minds of those that are struggling, who are stumbling to find their way in it? And I've just given one example this morning. There are lots of others, but I think it's important that we think on these things. But this leads us onto our final point. Turn on the light and be seen. you know, this Christianity thing, this gang of followers who of Jesus, well, that's something big. It's something huge. You know, we are described in this passage as a chosen people, a royal. We're royal. You know, it's not just Prince William and the Queen and everything else. We are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, people belonging to God. Now, that is huge. And as we sit in our sitting rooms, connected with, how many have we got on today? We've got 66 other people, or 65 other households connected into this. We join individually in our households, knowing that this living stone, this foundation is for us individually. But we join with people on this call as a church. We join with people all over the UK and all over the world, in Thailand. And, you know, I don't know if Emmanuel is on today, in Nigeria and in other locations, joining together to declare our praises to God. You know, you can, I don't know if you're in spotlight view, but you can go into gallery view and you can look at a royal priesthood, because that's who we at Source of Church are. You know, we may be self-isolating, we may be locked down, but we are part of a holy nation, even over Zoom. And as such, we are called to live such good lives among those who don't yet believe or follow Jesus. They may have stumbled and rejected the message, but we're called to lead such good lives. And even though they accuse us of doing wrong, we mustn't give up. That, because we want them to see, as we're called to in the last verse of this passage, may they see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits. And the word for see here is a word about observing, ongoing observations. You know, it may take one act of kindness for someone who doesn't yet believe to see that the difference that we've got is through Christ. And that may take one act of kindness to help them on their faith journey. It may take a week. It may take a season. It may take a year. It may take a lifetime. But as they observe the goodness, the love, care and compassion that Saltersford Church gives, they are far more likely to come to faith and follow Jesus themselves. And, you know, I really believe that over the last 10 years as a church, we've tried to live this out. We've tried to be far more outward looking as a church. And, you know, Andy's spoken already, hasn't he, this morning about looking to the future. There's no point looking back. Yeah, we can learn from history, but actually we're to look forward. And, you know, in the near future, Celia's moving on from her role as our outreach and community worker. And it can be so easy to give up, showing people the goodness, the love, the care and the compassion of Jesus in all that we do. But I would urge us not to give up, but actually to redouble our efforts to allow people to observe good deeds in humility. It's not about us, it's about Jesus. So they may indeed see the goodness of God in his church. So we are being built into something special based on that foundational cornerstone that is Jesus, with Christ as our solid foundation. But as we journey with people and as we try and ensure that the things that are causing them to stumble, they can understand and they can see, let's make sure that we keep letting people see and observe the good love of Jesus in all that we do. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your Son, Jesus. Lord, the cornerstone, the foundation of our faith, on whom everything is built. And Lord, as we are part of that, as living stones filled with the Holy Spirit, Lord, we pray that as a church, we would obey your word, to seek to do good deeds so that those who are observing us would see you in all that we do. And Lord, we thank you that we can have that deep sense of identity in you, in our faith as part of this body. And Lord, I just pray that you'd help us to show your love to those who have not yet discovered that. We ask this in your name. Amen.